Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Wade, it opens wide to Wade. Whoa, dunk! Forney blocks his dunk!
Here's Wade against Green.
Eurostep. Basket.
Welcome to the Heat Check. I'm Wes Goldberg. With me, as always, it's our very own dancing shark. It's David Ramil. How you doing, David?
Doing great. Still feeling the Super Bowl hangover, as is most of the country, I'm sure.
I am too. Mostly because, okay, I was gonna say mostly because the Patriots won, but if this makes any sense, I have not cared as much as I haven't cared if the Patriots won or lost the Super Bowl ever than I did yesterday. Did that sentence make any sense?
I think I know what you tried to say.
I'm trying to figure out the best way to say it.
No,
but, I mean, every time they used to be in the Super Bowl, I would have given up my firstborn just so that they didn't win. And last night, I just didn't even care. And I think I'm sitting there trying to figure out why. And I'm like, I really don't care if they win. And I figured out because the Dolphins have absolutely sucked my soul out when it comes to the NFL. I know you're not really a big football fan, right? Like the NFL fan?
No, I am.
Oh, you are.
I don't follow them. Yeah. Well, again, I think as there's a Dolphin fan malaise that's kind of set in that, you know, you just halfway through the season, you just kind of think, oh, they're just going to tank. And somehow, sure enough, they do because that's who the Dolphins are. So I think it's applied to my fandom at this point. Really, I couldn't care less about the NFL right now. I have zero interest in the Super Bowl, and it's unfortunate. But I still watch the game, though, because I'm a good American. That's what you're supposed to do.
Good job. Yeah, I watched it. I had to put money on it just so I can get interested in it. I ended up putting my money on the under for the first half line. It was 23.5 points. And, of course, in, like, the last minute and a half, both teams score a touchdown apiece, and it blew that out of the water. And then I ended up betting on the Seahawks for the game because they had a point given to them, and then the Patriots won. So I just ended up losing money. So that was awful. The fact that I realized I don't care about – like, my driving force the last few years when the Dolphins were bad was at least I can root against the Patriots in the playoffs. I didn't even care. So just, like, that whole indifference just kind of, like, makes you a little depressed, so – not to be a completely depressing Dolphins fans, but I think all Dolphins fans feel like this at some point, right?
Yeah, I mean,
but you just know they're going to break your heart every time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just become a football agnostic.
Get excited about something that's happening with a team, and next thing you know, somehow they wind up finding a way to disappoint you. Either giving up a number of games in the waning seconds of the fourth quarter, or you know, all of a sudden having a fight on the sideline. Something's going to happen, so that's great. But you know what? The good news is that we're not a Dolphins podcast. We're a Miami Heat podcast.
That's right. And, okay, maybe not so great anymore. Not this season. This season's been frustrating. So, just to kind of... it's almost a microcosm of how frustrating the season is. I think on the last podcast we predicted we would go 3-0.
That's right.
Against the Bucks, the Mavericks, and the Celtics. And we ended up going 1-2. But that was before we knew Wade was going to be out those games, right?
I don't want to say that it was our fault that we caused Wade's injury, but I'm starting to think that way.
I think you might be on to something.
It's possible.
It's entirely plausible. So we end up going 1-2. They blow the game against the Bucks. They blow the game against just huge, massive blowjob against the Mavericks. Just horrible. And then
That might need a little rephrasing there.
I think we're good. I don't see. I think it's fine. and then end up winning, pulling this game out against the Celtics that neither team had any business winning. To their credit, neither team wanted to be there. I mean, the body language was that they just didn't want to be playing that game. They're like, why do we have to play a game on Super Bowl Sunday? This is ridiculous. I just want to go home. Both teams were shooting an awful percent. It was just an ugly game.
Could this be the repeat of 2012 where Shane Battier delivers that wonderful speech after a victory over the Toronto Raptors on Super Bowl Sunday, where he guides the team and inspires them with his amazing, you know, rah-rah speech, whatever it was, because we've never heard the details of it. Nobody wants to talk about it. It was just one of those moments in Heat history that you kind of hush up and, you know, you refer to it. Everybody knows it happened, but nobody knows exactly what
speech.
Happened. And next thing you know, 26-game win streak. Is that going to happen this year?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. So look forward to that. That'll be fun.
Who delivered the speech since Battier is no longer on the team?
Well, since Battier is not there, who replaced Battier? Danny Granger, in a sense, so he'll do it. He'd be like, I know I haven't really done anything this season. I'm kind of a waste of space when I'm out there. I'm really trying. I know I should have retired like 2 or 3 years ago, but let's go out there and win it for Mickey. Yeah, but so Wade's out. That's given guys like Tyler Johnson a chance at a second 10-day contract, and he's looked pretty good. I think he played really well against the Celtics last night. Well, yesterday afternoon, I guess. But I really like Tyler Johnson. There's three things I like about him. Number one, he's humble, and you know this because he still gets his hair cut at Supercuts. Which means that he has not taken anything for granted, not any paycheck. He's still just going to go in there with a $15 haircut. That's fine. The kid can play, and his Twitter handle is Pusha T. Those three things, you know that he's going to make it. At least,
go ahead. I hate to ask, but how do we know where he gets his haircut?
Have you seen his hair? Or like a blind guy. It's just, it's awful. But like, I like him because he's in that awkward stage of just coming out of college at Fresno State, and he doesn't really know what to do with his money. I mean, he probably doesn't have that much money because he's been primarily in the D League, and he's got a couple of 10-day contracts which pay enough money to where you could spend like $30 on a haircut as opposed to 10 or 15 bucks. But
if I'm not mistaken, I think for his stint in the D League, I think, that he actually spent there, I want to say somewhere in the vicinity of like 20,000 or under, and then off of just one 10-day, and then his second one that he's just collected, I think he's well into this, you know, I want to say about like 150,000-200,000.
That makes sense.
That's a significant jump.
Oh yeah, it's amazing what they're playing for in the D-League. It really is. Like, how rewarding that must be when you get the call that somebody just wants to give you a 10-day contract.
Yeah,
it must be unbelievable. But what I really like about him is there's a prototype for him in the NBA. And there's a few, just that 3-and-D kind of guy. He hit a three-pointer against the Celtics. He played terrific on-ball defense. It's best on the team last night. And there's a prototype for that. I mean, you got Gerald Green in Phoenix. I think somebody on Twitter said something about him possibly being like a Josh Howard type. I can't remember who that was. But basically all the same kind of 3-and-D. A little bit more athletic than you probably give him credit for, kind of guy. And he does some stuff handling the ball as well. And that's something James Ennis has really struggled with. But James Ennis has been... I've been so either on the James Ennis bandwagon or off of it this whole season. I'm probably the worst person to listen to when it comes to James Ennis. But I think I'm on the bandwagon again.
Well, I think he's just getting more time.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the Wade injury situation.
Yeah. And because Norris Cole kind of got bumped down a little bit.
Right, right. And he's capitalized somewhat. I mean, it's not huge production, but I think, you know, there was that start of the season, and especially in the preseason, where everybody was looking for those flashes of athleticism, and he did, you know, he delivered. There was opening night where he had the soul-crushing dunk over Rasul Butler, and all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, maybe this kid has the makings of a superstar. And the next thing you know, he sits out the next six games, he's possibly in Spoelstra's doghouse, and you know, he doesn't know how to play defense, and there's talk about, you know, mind lapses in his mindfulness, or whatever you want to call it, where he's just not fully aware of what he's supposed to be doing out there, particularly on the defensive end. And so it's kind of hard not to get a little frustrated, because he just hasn't been as consistent as you would like, and as you would expect from somebody as athletic as he is. But having said that, I mean, a solid overall game, 8 points in 24 minutes, 3 of 6 shooting. I mean, not a bad game. He wasn't, and maybe it's hard to gauge his performance because you're talking about him playing against the Celtics, and so maybe the defensive lapses are still there, but they're not as obvious when they're playing a poor offensive team
right.
like Boston.
I think it's pretty clear that those defensive lapses are still there. But I like his energy. I mean, he's got all the hustle and energy. He's always trying to go for put-back dunks or trying to grab rebounds. And there's times where he just grabs a rebound that the Heat just had no business getting. And that's huge for a team where every game matters for them. And I don't know. It's easy to get impatient, but he does time his cuts really, really well. And that's, for a rookie, I mean, that's fantastic. If he can do that consistently and just make that part of his game, because he's not a great shooter. He's not a good defender. He's just kind of what, like, he reminds me a little bit about Thomas Robinson, the kid out of Kansas. And they play different positions, but like a smaller Thomas Robinson, like, what does he do well? I don't know, but he just has all the energy and the athleticism in the world. And Ennis kind of just reminds me a little bit of that.
I think as fans, you kind of want to see that. I mean,
yeah.
It's better to have a guy who shows a lot of intensity, energy, athleticism, etc., and maybe fails somewhat, even though you can't necessarily say Ennis has been a failure this season, rather than somebody who's just uber-talented, doesn't try very hard, and maybe winds up getting 15 points. That's more frustrating. Like, say...
Like Michael Beasley.
Right, sure, exactly. That's a very good point. I was going to say Deion Waiters, but, you know, maybe you're right. Michael Beasley's even better. This kid could have scored 30 points on any given night, pulled down 20 rebounds, and then you just didn't know what you were going to get from one game to the next. And so that is particularly difficult for fans. I'm looking at Johnson's, you know, stat line here.
It's loaded.
Nine rebounds.
Yeah, that's as much as Hassan Whiteside had.
4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I didn't get that sense that he was having that kind of an impact in the game, but, I mean, do you feel that way as he's in there, that he's the catalyst?
You know, I was watching him, and he was just playing his ass off, you know? And that was good to see. He was just blanketing guys on defense. He was really just trying to get his hands in every little crevice everywhere. That's where his 2 steals and his block, or was it 1 block or 2 blocks? Maybe it was 2?
2 blocks.
I remember 1 block, and it was... I don't know, he's just very active hands, active feet, just all over the place. I mean, and just his general aggressiveness trying to score was something what we haven't seen from Napier, you know?
Right.
And he's got the ball handling that Napier has, but he does have some ball handling, something better than Ennis. He's kind of like a tweener in between Ennis and Napier, if that makes any sense. But like a better defender than either of them. Just because he's got the energy like Ennis, and then the handles and just everything. So,
well, I mean, you have to be somewhat athletic,
yeah,
obviously, to be a solid defender, and he certainly fits the bill. But I think he's also giving that effort, and I think that's the big part. He doesn't take anything for granted. Maybe it's that whole kind of, you know, a hungry rookie in the sense that this is his 10-day and nothing is guaranteed. Now, the big question is...
Well, this is kind of how we played at Fresno State. I was kind of going through... the highlights and the draft profiles and like Draft Express and stuff like that, and apparently this is the kind of guy he is. Now I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he was in college, he wasn't getting paid. Now he's just working to try to get signed for the rest of the season because this is his last 10-day contract that he's allowed to sign. But I will assume, like, you don't play like that for your entire life and then just stop as soon as you get a decent contract. So I think this is the kind of player he is. Now, does he have the size for the NBA? I don't know. He's very, very light. He's like 170 pounds. Not a terrific shooter, but I think if he could just get open three-point looks and just build on that, that's all he needs to be able to do, really. He did a good job. He has a knack for getting to the rim. He wasn't finishing, and that's kind of the same thing we saw from Napier quite a few times this season. It's like, oh, eventually he'll start finishing at the rim. Some guys are just bad, But that's also something we see guys get really good at. Like, Damian Lillard has gotten a lot better at finishing at the rim. Stephen Curry has gotten a lot better at finishing at the rim. You know, it takes some guys a while sometimes just to figure out how to navigate through the trees of the NBA as opposed to what they're dealing with in college. But I like what we're seeing out of him, and I'm glad he's getting some playing time finally. Because I think it's still a mystery of why he only got 2 minutes on his first 10-day.
Yeah, and six free throw attempts, second most to Chris Bosh. I mean, obviously getting to the line is a huge component for, I mean, major superstars just as much as anybody in the league at this point. So that shows the kind of overall aggression and that he can still draw contact, etc. And for a guy that's somewhat smaller, that's going to be a big part of maintaining that level of productivity for as long as he's with the team. So my question is, and I think the answer seems fairly obvious, does the Heat keep him throughout the rest of the season?
I think they have to, right? Unless there's another backcourt guy that comes available that they want.
I think unless you're going to make a trade over the next 8 days or however long he has on his 10-day, you know, where you bring in a point guard or something like that, maybe somebody that's a little bit more proven, a la Mo Williams, then maybe that's the only reason why you send him back down to the D-League or wave him out, right, whatever. Because otherwise, I mean, he's proven that he's a capable backup and that he can provide a boost off the bench. I mean, again, small sample size. It's hard not to get too caught up, and maybe that's just the nature of the season, is that a lot of fans want to get caught up in the moment, and it's fine. But, I mean, flashes of talent there, and if what you're saying is true, and I mean, it absolutely seems that way, if he's going to continue that level of effort that he's given maybe throughout his whole playing career, he did it in college, why not keep him around? It's just a guy who could potentially come off the bench, and once Wade comes back, he can kind of spell him and give him a different, you know, a change, a vibe, a different, you know, energy, something.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious that Miami needs him.
I think they sign him, and Justin Hamilton becomes that last guy on the roster. You know what I mean? So if they need to cut somebody, it might be Hamilton and not Tyler Johnson.
That's a good point.
Just because he's not playing anymore, they don't really need him with Hassan Whiteside around. Even when Chris Anderson's hurt, they don't play him very much, if at all. So I can see that happening. There's still some trade rumors going on. That Mo Williams kind of trade rumor-ish kind of thing. He's available. It makes sense for the Heat. Apparently he's available for a very low price. I know Ira Winderman for the Sun Sentinel tweeted out an interesting trade. He didn't say it was just his idea. He didn't quote sources or anything like that. But basically to just trade Norris Cole and a minimum deal, which in this case could just be Justin Hamilton, to the Detroit Pistons. And then both teams give second rounders to Minnesota, and Minnesota sends Mo Williams to Miami.
That's an interesting three-way trade. Is that the one you discussed in your post?
Yeah, I did. I kind of embedded Ira Winderman's tweet and just kind of discussed why it was a good one. I liked it.
Yeah.
But even if it's not a three-way trade, I mean, the Heat have plenty of second-round picks. The problem is our first-round picks, we don't have any. But second-round picks, we got bunches of them. So we could just trade second-round picks to Minnesota if that's all they want and just give them Norris Cole, which is essentially an expiring contract, and just call it a day. I don't know if that's... I mean, apparently Mo Williams is coming for cheap. I don't know if it'd be that cheap, or if he'd be willing to part ways with multiple second-round picks for Mo Williams. You know, because, like, how much is he going to help right now? Because right now, this Dwayne Wade injury is completely derailed a lot of things. I mean, the Heat are currently four games back of Milwaukee for the sixth seed.
Yeah.
I mean, Wade's not going to get back until after the All-Star game. It's a tough... We're going to talk about the schedule coming up. It's not easy. Got three straight road games coming up here. I don't know. I think this Wade injury, this might have been the last one that the Heat could have handled. I don't know if... It's going to be hard to bounce back from this.
Well, I mean, I think we could possibly see, you know, the worst scenario I see is that if he does come back, let's say we break even before the All-Star break, he comes back after the break, and then maybe we go in a nice little roll, because certainly...
What do you mean break even? You mean like from here on out we just stay 500 from the remainder of the schedule, or we don't get to 500 by then, right?
Right, no, I don't
okay.
think that's impossible. I think we could play 500 ball for the rest of the, or up until the All-Star break, but... Mm. Then he comes back afterwards, and as you and I have talked about before, there's still, I think, we'd like to say that there's a little run left in this team. I think they're just talented. They've got Whiteside going. There have been flashes. I think we could see them go on maybe a nice good 5-6 game win streak, and that wouldn't be, or maybe like even, you know, 6 out of 8 games or something along those lines. A good, you know, rack up some quality wins in between now and the end of the season. But Chris Bosh, if he got hurt, I think that would really be the death blow for this team. I mean, it's one thing to lose Wade, and we lose a lot of our edge and just a great facilitator, etc. I think that's what happened in the Milwaukee game. You know, I somewhere in the third quarter after he got hurt, I'm thinking to myself, you know, they're starting to, you know, make a comeback. Milwaukee is, and I'm starting to think, oh, you know what, we're not going to win this game. And I knew it. I knew we weren't going to win it, because without Wade there, without that kind of presence that he brings, especially in the close of games, it's that much harder to win it. But I think you still need that kind of versatility from Chris Bosh, even though he's been somewhat off over the last few games. He hasn't been as productive as he'd like. You know, he kind of fell apart against Dallas.
Didn't play very well against the Celtics either. And I think if we were playing any other team but the Celtics and maybe, you know, one or two other teams in the NBA, we lose that game, right? The Heat didn't play very well at all. And even when Wade does come back, do we think he's going to play for the rest of the season? I mean, he's going to miss a game here and there. Chris Bosh will probably miss a game here and there. And I see on Twitter, and we've even talked about this, that, you know, it's so frustrating that this team keeps getting hurt. And if this team was healthy, we really feel like they could put a run together. And that's true. But I'm just thinking about it. This is the roster Pat Riley built. Did he really think that this roster was going to be healthy for 15 games straight at any point? I mean, he goes and signs Danny Granger. We know his health problems. He signs Chris Bosh, and he's a big guy. He might have been the healthiest guy out of all of them. And he's unfortunately missed games, and he's missed games in the past. Dwayne Wade, we know his issues. Chris Anderson is 49 years old or something. Like, I mean, Chalmers has been hurt. I mean, all these guys have been hurt in the past, and we just kind of gathered them all up, and it's like, well, just, and Lou Aldang even, with his mileage and everything, it's just like, well, what did you think was going to happen here? I mean, this is, the reason you were able to get some of these guys so cheap was because they're injury prone, and because they're old, and it's not really an excuse. This is the team that Riley built. It was a fragile thing that he built in the first place, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. Now we enter this weird stage where you kind of have to be realistic about it. It's too late to tank, right? You can't possibly lose so many games that you're going to, like, you can get in the lottery, but you're not going to catch up with some of these bottom teams. Like, you're not catching up with the Celtics or the Wolves or anything like that. So even an opportunity to get your pick back. What's our pick is what? Top 5 protected? Or top 10? Top 10. Either way, that's going to be tough. Like, that's a hard one to get at this point. So nothing's guaranteed, but really the only answer right now is to give these young guys that you already have on the roster or in the D-League, just give them a chance. So signing, even maybe trading a guy from, like, Mo Williams might not be worth it. Just play your young guys. Bring up people from the D-League here and there if you can. 10-day contracts just here and there. You know, maybe clear a roster spot and just use it for random 10 days and just kind of see what you can see if you can strike gold again, like you did with Hassan Whiteside, right? I guess that.
But isn't that kind of like a very passive form of tanking and something that the team doesn't seem likely to do, especially when they have, you know, 2 proven stars, whether they're hurt or not, you know, that's besides the point. I think you've got Lou Aldang, and, you know, you cut his minutes out as the season progresses because he
more like why are you playing Danny Granger or Sean Williams so many minutes when you can be giving those minutes to James Ennis? You know, I'm not saying tank and just start Tyler Johnson, Napier, and James Ennis.
Yeah.
You know, as long as Wade and Bosh are both playing, the Heat have a chance to win any game. I firmly believe that. Those are 2 of the best players at their positions in the NBA. There's no doubt. But we've seen it this season. But instead of bringing Danny Granger off the bench and letting him go 0-for-6 from the field, give those minutes away to some of those young guys, you know what I mean? Or bring Norris Cole in, you already know that you're going to let him walk if you're not going to trade him. Give those minutes to Tyler Johnson or Napier.
Those decisions, those are made by Spoelstra. Do you think that Riley still exercises that kind of control where he could tell Spo, hey, maybe it's time to let the young guys play a little bit more?
Yeah.
Like a wink, wink.
Yeah, I think he, I don't know if he exercises that control, but I think he certainly has that power. It's just his decision whether or not he wants to be intrusive like that. But, you know, Eric Spoelstra's a basketball coach. He's just going to play the guys that he thinks give him the best chance to win. And if Riley as a consultant or one of his assistants or something to say, look, listen, Danny Granger going over 7 is not really helping us win. Why don't we play James Ennis? Because at least he's giving you the effort that, or the energy, I guess, that and the athleticism that just Granger doesn't have right now. Not to pick on Danny Granger. He's actually, against the Celtics, he was trying to do stuff when he knows that when his shot's not falling. He's trying to get in there for rebounds. He's fighting. He is trying. So I don't want to pick on Granger, but he's really not good.
It's just so surprising because he had that nice run in December.
Yeah.
Shots not falling, loss of confidence. I mean, it's bewildering to see a player that had a nice, good run of hot shooting all of a sudden fall apart. I mean, I know that's probably more close to what we expected from him this season. You know, the kind of, I don't know, stuck in molasses kind of player that he's become, you know, due to injury. But man,
he's really not getting any elevation on his jumper either. Just like, it seems like he's just standing when he shoots from the 3-point line.
It's sad.
It really is. And, you know, but he was a great offensive talent, and I think it was just, you think you're right, it was just a matter of time before he had like a little bit of a hot streak, but it's unsustainable. Not at this point. There's apparently, I saw some report that they were trying to package Norris Cole and Danny Granger together to Detroit for Jonas Derebko, which would have been kind of interesting, a younger kind of power forward type.
I've not seen him play. I don't know anything about his game.
He's just a big guy. His minutes have been cut. I don't know. Pistons don't really have much room for him with that front line that they have. It would just be a young asset to acquire, basically.
It's kind of ironic that we're making all these moves with Van Gundy. I mean, being in Denver, and he's the guy calling all the shots, and he seems like I mean, so at least they're, you know, the rumors, you know, whether they're true or not, who knows, but it seems like we're actively making a deal, and Detroit's a very likely partner in that.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a chance that the Heat make some sort of trade. I think just to, if they know Norris Cole's not coming back, to move him to get something, even if you're trying to get Mo Williams back for a year or a second round pick or some sort of asset in return, I think that's the right move if that's indeed what they're going to be trying to do. They've been just linked to so many rumors that where there's smoke, there's usually fire, right? If they don't pull something off, I get it, but that might be their choice. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're actively shopping.
Well, Williams is a free agent, right? His deal's only a one-year deal.
Right.
Okay. So it doesn't impact any long-term plans or anything like that.
Exactly. And if they can get a guy like Aaron Aflalo, who's been linked, Andre Blatch is now a free agent because his team got eliminated from the Chinese playoffs or whatever. That guy was averaging 32-15 or something like that in China.
Yeah, but
I mean, he's not going to do that in the end. But he was nobody ever doubted his NBA talent, right? That was never the problem. It was his work ethic and attitude and all that kind of stuff.
Do you feel like he's required anymore now that Whiteside's continued to develop? I mean, you've got him, you've got Birdman. It's all of a sudden it's a position of strength for Miami. Ironically,
I think Blatch would really help.
Yeah,
as a backup power forward, or even a third big who can kind of play power forward or center. Because Chris Anderson, I mean, he's going to miss more games, right? So if you at least have Blatch, you can give him, you can increase his minutes when Bird's out. But right now, they're still giving Sean Williams a lot of playing time. And it was kind of bewildering at first why he wasn't playing. But when he's on the court, I think they just want him to, either they're just telling him, go stand in the corner because you're a floor spacer, or he's purposely not moving because he thinks he's a floor spacer. Because he really doesn't help. He kills the ball movement. He does nothing by himself. And it again, not to pick on Sean Williams so much because I think he's got value as a three-point shooter, but if Miami's going to be playing this slowed-down pace, you know, play defense, get it into the paint kind of thing, Blatch fits that way better than Sean Williams does. Williams is more of that pace and space. Bosch was playing center. He could play with the 4 kind of guy. So I think he would help. And I don't think the Heat are in a position to be picky either.
Well, as a Heat writer, I gotta say, I'm not sure I like Andre Blatchner team just because it's gonna be difficult to spell that on a regular basis.
Well, that's when you... I mean, at least you're not a Milwaukee Bucks writer.
Yeah, very good point.
All right, so really quick, do you think the Heat make a move before the trade deadline on February 19th?
Yeah, I think they have to. I think if nothing else, Johnson kind of shows them a much cheaper, somewhat athletic, you know, option at the guard position, and I think Norris Cole's on his way out. You've already got a backup in Napier.
Mm-hmm.
He had whatever problems he had, either figuring out the system or perhaps attitude problems, whatever they may have been. You kind of needed him on the team. You've kept Cole somewhat on the bench over the last few weeks, on and off. He hasn't been getting any kind of consistent playing time. I think the writing is on the wall in his career in Miami. It's done.
Yeah. I think Mo Williams makes a lot of sense, too.
Do you acquire a guy like Mo Williams? Do you send Napier back down to the D-League? Keep him there stashed for the rest of the season? Keep Johnson somewhere along those lines?
Well, apparently... Mo Williams has done pretty well with Zach LaVine in Minnesota, just as a mentor type guy.
That's ironic, isn't it?
Why is that ironic?
I don't know. Just Mo Williams, I mean, he's been like with 9 different teams in his NBA career. I mean, I guess he's seen it all, but he's always been kind of a hothead, right? I mean, his playing days with LeBron in Cleveland, I mean, he was kind of fiery and not really a what you'd call a level-headed guy.
Sure. I mean, I don't have any sources. I only know as much as I read, but I think I've seen a few things about how they want it. Or maybe I should be more clear. They kind of wanted him around, but maybe he's not working out in that way, so maybe now that's why they're willing to trade him. I don't know.
That's a possibility. That seems more likely.
Yeah, that might be a little bit more truthful. Either way, he would be better than what the Heat have. And if you do get Mo Williams, right, and you trade Norris Cole and something else for him, then you can kind of move Mario Chalmers back into that combo guard six slot that he was playing way better at.
As a six man.
Yeah, exactly. And now you can be a little bit more liberal with how you give Tyler Johnson and James Ennis their minutes.
Right.
And Napier, too. So that trade I like. So, I mean, if they trade a couple of players from Mo Williams, and then they sign Andre Blatch, that's an immediately better team because you add a solid player to the bench in Andre Blatch, and then you add another solid player to the bench because you're moving Mario Chalmers back into that six-man role. And the team is all of a sudden... I'm not saying it's a quick fix and now all of a sudden the Heat are going to be the fourth seed in the East, but at least they'll be respectable and can win games, you know?
I mean, it's so weird because that's been the case the whole season. You always think that they're able to... And, you know, now to kind of contradict your point from earlier, I mean, the injuries have been what's affected this team. Now all of a sudden you're building with these veterans that might not necessarily be a good fit, although they have the playing ability. It's just from a psychological or mental aspect, maybe they don't necessarily mesh very well with that team. I mean, if you acquire Mo Williams and you acquire Andre Blatch, then clearly the message is we're in a win-now type situation. We've got Luol Deng, we've got Dwayne Wade, we've got Chris Bosh, and we've got an emerging player in Hassan Whiteside. We're acquiring veterans that fit around these guys because we're going to make a run and we expect to have an upset in the playoffs.
Well, it's not like they didn't like Blatch, right? They've been interested in Blatch. They were linked to him in the summer about possibly signing him. But that's when they were thinking, well, we got McRoberts, we got Bosh, we got Birdman, we're going to play this. Blatch doesn't really fit into what we want to do. But now that they've completely flipped the table on what they're doing, maybe he fits and they've been waiting. I mean, there's a reason they applied for the DPE to try to get Josh Smith, right? But they were going to apply for that and get it before even Josh Smith got waived. So they want to use that money somehow. And so they can use that money on Blatch. And I don't know. I just like they there's something they like about him, right? It's just not out of the blue that, oh, this guy just scored 32 and 15 in China. Let's give him a shot. Like, they were kind of interested in it before. They could have had him, but they chose not to go in that direction. I don't know.
I mean, there hasn't been any kind of confirmation as to what scared them off.
All I keep hearing is just off-the-court stuff, just horror stories, I'm sure, that the Nets told people.
That's what I assumed it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've seen highlights from him. I mean, when they're over the off season when he was linked to the team, it's something that you and I talked about. I mean, he's a gifted player. Maybe he's not necessarily a high basketball IQ guy. If that's a phrase you want to use, but I mean, not necessarily known for his shot selection, perhaps. But I mean, he can score, and he's long enough and talented enough to go in there for rebounds. I mean, maybe it's a matter of getting a significant amount of touches, which seems unlikely to happen if he joins as a backup, but he could be a contributor, a nice boost off the bench. I like the movement again. I mean, I'm hoping, as you always do, that he's going to be able to be focused and engaged for the postseason run, and that it'll actually translate into a solid union between the two. But I think it's a move worth exploring.
And yeah, it's a low risk move, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's 28 years old, and if you're the Heat right now, you don't have many assets. If you can get a 28-year-old with the talent that Blatch has, I think you do it, because he fits a position of need in a backup power forward. You just kind of bolster that front line a little bit even more than it already is. That could just be the Heat's strength, even though it kind of already is. You just keep adding to that. And, you know, you sign him for a 1-2-year deal. Doesn't work out. Or you can trade him, right? If he shows up and does really well, and that's all of a sudden a guy that you can include in a trade, just as an asset. I mean, this team is strapped for anything future asset wise. I think you just got to do it, especially with the low risk that it is. But you know, now we're assuming that he'll just sign with the Heat regardless. Apparently, the Memphis and the Nets are still interested. So,
okay, that's the only other teams that are. As far as competition is concerned.
Yeah, and if you're Blatch, you sign with Memphis in a heartbeat, I think. Over the Heat, right?
Yeah, I imagine so.
You're probably going to get the same amount of playing time regardless, so. All right, well, let's get to previewing this next slate of games, right?
Absolutely.
So, we play next Monday, so we'll probably record next Tuesday, so we'll go all the way until, we'll just do a full 7-day cycle.
That's a good heads up.
All righty. So, yeah. Cereal or not cereal?
Milk and cereal. Cereal.
The Detroit Pistons are not cereal.
Not cereal? Is that because Stan Van Gundy? Stan Van Gundy? Okay.
Yes. I think they've kind of taken... I would say early this season, clearly the Josh Smith factor. Whether it's fair or not fair, and I know that's a lot of the talk, is that, you know, that wasn't necessarily the reason for their problems, but you have to look at what a boost trading him to the team was, and with that they probably cleared off most of their serialness, I would say. And then with Brandon Jennings lost for the season,
that sucks for them, right?
Yeah, there's no cereal left in Detroit.
There's none. I mean, Andre Drummond's a little cereal.
Well, you know, he was part of the USA men's team, and you know, he's a solid player. Cereal, not cereal, I'm not sure. As a player, I'd say still too young to call him a full case of cereal. Maybe he's a closet cereal eater. How about that?
One of those little sample packs, maybe.
Yes, the little boxes that you pack in the kids' lunches. That's what it is. He gets those.
Comes with like five corn pops. All right. I think they got a good chance to win that game, though. I mean, it's the front lines. In Detroit. I mean, their point guard situation's a mess. They're probably going to let Norris Cole do everything he wants, because they're going to use it as a showcase to say, hey, let's see if we should trade for this guy or not. Don't defend him too hard. Let's see what he can do. Maybe? I don't know.
They just beat Houston on Saturday. I mean, that's a pretty big win, and I know that's Houston.
Well, that means they're about to hit a valley, right? They hit their peak. That's kind of how the NBA works.
I mean, you have to look at that run they had, and I know that Jennings' injury kind of derailed that somewhat, mm-hmm. but they've been playing significantly better as of late. I'm not sure where they are in the overall standings, although they're one of those teams. Well, I'm sorry, maybe I'm wrong. I know they went on a hot streak, then they lost four straight before mm-hmm. that win against Houston. So even one loss to Philadelphia, where they only scored 69 points.
Yeah, that's. I think our front line just met with Whiteside there. I think that front line matches up well. Bosch is able to take Monroe out of the paint. Wade's not going to play, but I don't know. I kind of like our chances in that game.
A lot tighter than you'd think, right?
Yeah.
But maybe the Heat pull out a victory there.
Yeah, you know what? From now on, let's just say, are the Heat going to be in there in the last 5 minutes of the game? It's kind of stupid to predict wins and losses, right? At this point, it's like stupid. Either the Heat are there at like the last few minutes, or it's completely blown out by that point.
Yeah, okay. We're going to match up very evenly with them.
And right. We got a chance.
There we go. That's instead of Heat Life or any of the earlier slogans that Pat Riley developed, it's, hey, Heat fans, we've got a chance.
So the Timberwolves on Wednesday, it's the second part of the back-to-back. In Minnesota, so they got to fly to Detroit and then fly immediately to Minnesota. The Wolves are playing better. Andrew Wiggins is coming along. That's a dangerous game. That's a very dangerous game. This reminds me a little bit of, they're not quite, I mean, they're not Milwaukee. Milwaukee's good, and Minnesota's like not, but they've got that scary length and athleticism kind of all over the court that gave that gives Miami problems this entire season. I know, but the Heat are so bad.
Yeah, they've won one game recently, and that was against Boston, 110-98.
I just have a bad feeling about this game. Like, if you're a Timberwolves fan, right, you're like, well, we're gonna win more than 8 games this season. You're kind of looking at the calendar, like, which games are we going to win? You circle the Heat game as, okay, we can win this one.
Oh, I don't know. I think I know that the Heat have been disappointing this year, but at the start of the season, I think most people would have thought that the trio of Deng, Bosch, and Wade, that would probably be enough to put them over the top.
I mean, Wade's not going to play.
I mean, Minnesota, you know, they've gone through a lot of injuries. Ricky Rubio's lost for a big chunk of time. You know, they lost their center. They've been struggling. You know, they got a lot of young players there. They've got a lot of potential. I think there's still some hope. But you know, I don't know. I think Miami pulls out a victory pretty easily there. I don't think Minnesota matches up well.
I have a bad feeling. I think we're gonna get slaughtered. Maybe not slaughtered. I think we're gonna lose.
Slaughtered, man. Yeah. That's brutal. I really think so.
This is one. I'm in a bad mood today.
Whiteside Pekovic. I mean, that's matchup. True. He can dominate.
I wonder if we trade for Mo Williams, but or we just trade for him during the game. If we're like losing by halftime, you're like, you know what, let's just do this trade right now. And then he just kind of switches locker rooms.
The most expensive scouting trip of all time. I mean, we based the schedule just so we could see him play in action. And maybe this is his, you know, kind of audition for the Heat.
Maybe.
You know, he goes out there and he just.
Yeah, I mean they can just do the whole 3-team trade right now. They go to Detroit. They just like Norris Cole. The flight is at 9 o'clock, but actually it's like at 7:30 in the morning. They're telling them it's at 9 in the morning, and they're like, "Oh, you must have missed it." And they just leave them in Detroit, and then they just fly to Minnesota and they pick up Mo Williams there, and then they head to San Antonio for Friday.
That would be weird, right? I mean, I don't think it's ever been done. Like, maybe not since like the days of the ABA or something like that.
I think this is the time to do it.
They start Norris Cole against Detroit. And then I guess the Timberwolves, well, Williams goes off for like 38 points or something, just to show Miami he's still got something going. And then the next day, they pull off the 3-team trade.
Exactly. They're just going to do that. And nobody's going to know. The NBA will never know because the NBA doesn't pay attention to the Heat, Pistons, or the Timberwolves right now. They're only interested in teams that are playing on television.
Or like the Lakers.
Yeah, like the Lakers, those good teams.
but definitely Serial, I think, over.
Yeah.
To look at that, right?
Yeah. Friday, the Spurs, not cereal.
Not cereal.
You decided this, right? So, also not going to win that game.
Very good. Absolutely not.
So, for all the reasons that the Spurs are really... Like, we got killed by the Spurs last year. We had LeBron James and good players. I mean, there's just...
We've got good players this time, Wes. I don't like that answer.
You're right. Tyler Johnson's fantastic.
Excellent.
And Hassan Whiteside is amazing. I am excited for the Hassan Whiteside versus Tim Duncan and Tiago Splitter. I mean, I'm excited to just at least see that, right?
I mean, are we putting to rest the discussion as to whether or not Whiteside is a legitimate player and whether or not he's going to continue being consistent? Because, I mean, we've seen nothing but consistency. And
he just shows something new every... I don't even think consistency is a fair word, right? He just keeps getting better. Even if his number... If he's not scoring 26 points or... You know, blocking 12 shots, he like the eye test just shows that he's getting better. I mean, that arc is up. It's going up, you know? So, I mean, he was hitting face-up jumpers and runners and spin moves and stuff like that in the last couple of games. I mean, this guy has got the whole arsenal. And it's just, you just keep dusting off a little bit more and more, and you just keep seeing new stuff from him. I mean, I don't think that is a, I don't know if this is not a fad. This is not, I think you hit it. Like, it's not a discussion. This guy is a legitimate player.
Who was guarding him in Boston? Was it Brandon Bass?
Brandon Bass, Sullinger. Sullinger didn't really play until the second half, but Sullinger, yeah, I mean, whatever. But, I mean, he did it against the Clippers and DeAndre Jordan. He did it against the Bulls with Joakim Noah. He scored 16 points against the Bucks on what was an off night, right? And they have a good front, a lengthy front line with John Henson there. And what was it, the Mavericks? I mean, he played really well against Tyson Chandler. I mean, this guy's just getting it done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then Monday, the Knicks. What is that team anymore? I don't even know if they're surreal or not surreal or what kind of planet they're on.
Well, they just had that inspirational win against Oklahoma City, albeit a team without Kevin Durant, that played very poorly in New York.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony back from injury, played a pretty solid game overall. I'd have to say that they're still surreal, but it's a moldy, stale surreal. It's hard to figure out, like, their personality. If yeah. They even have one. I mean, it's angry and frustrating.
Talk about a team that just wants to get the season over with, right?
Right, absolutely.
If the NBA just said, listen, we'll pay you, just you don't have to play the rest of the season.
Yeah, just don't show up.
They sign that. They do that in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. And they keep the whatever seeding they currently have so that they can get whatever draft pick they currently are.
Yeah, they extrapolate their record for the balance of the season. They just say, okay, you know what? You're fine. You'll have your second, third pick. Just you don't have to play anymore. Don't just stay home. You don't have to travel. It's fine. Jose Calderon, just go back to your farm. Like, whatever. He's got a farm, apparently.
Does he really?
Yeah. That's what
he raises, like, pigs, right?
Yeah, he's like a pig farmer or something. I don't know if it's a farm. I don't know. You call it? I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so for pigs? Okay. Yeah, so he does that. So just you could go do that.
You know, Wells has a farm as Amara Stoudemire.
It's not the same farm, is it?
No, that would be weird. Because I think Calderon's is in Spain.
Okay, where's Amara Stoudemire's farm?
I think it's upstate New York.
Oh, really? Of what?
Yes. I have no idea exactly what he grows. I don't think he's related to it at all. But he's an odd personality, and I think he wanted to try something different. You know, go back to his roots or to a more natural state or something along.
I wish he was still good. He was so joyful to watch when he was good, but his health just deteriorated. But that first half of that season he signed in New York, I mean, he was an all-star. You know, he was a borderline MVP candidate because they were playing so well, and then they traded for Carmelo Anthony. But and everything kind of went downhill because, like, the whole chemistry and the vibes and just didn't work, and he wasn't the... But when that first half of the season, when he was just the main scorer and everything just went through him, that was really cool. I'm not even talking about the Phoenix days where he was just incredible, but... Anyway, now I'm getting off into an Amari Stoudemire tangent.
No, it's great. I think a lot of players miss the old Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah. All right, David. Well, until next Tuesday. On Tuesday. All right. Thanks for listening to The Heat Check. You can find my writing, find David's writing on allyoucanheat.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, rate us, and say nice things about us. And thank you to those who did rate and review us and subscribe. It means a lot to us. That's why we do it. Thanks for listening.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.